Well, good morning, Good Shepherd. I'm Wayne Hobson, the Congregational Care Pastor here at Good Shepherd. In case you're wondering what a Congregational Care Pastor does, well, let's just say if you were to get a boo-boo, I'm the one that comes to pray for you. And I love this church so much for so many reasons, but one of the reasons why I love it is because here we honor the Word of God, and we look at the Bible not as a book. Many people see it as a book. It looks like a book, feels like a book, smells like a book, but it's not. In actuality, it's a library. And because we believe that the Word of God is sovereign in our lives, when we study the Word of God, we lift it up to submit to its authority in our lives. This morning in our new series, Where Apples Fall, our sermon is titled, The Harder They Fall. And this morning, I'm going to be blunt and upfront with you and share with you as my friends, as my church family, my worst moment as a parent and how it turned around. Now, just to let you know, there's some things about me that you can tell and see. You can see the shape of my head and the frame of what you cannot see is that I'm actually legally blind. So isn't it amazing how God works in our lives and through us? But I wasn't just blind physically. I was also blind psychologically as a parent. And so I want to share with you how through God's word that was turned around. But before I do, let's pray. So, Father, we come thanking you this morning. We come with our hearts and minds open, and we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, that you hide me behind and even beneath the cross, and that your word be risen up and raised up as a standard for this your people. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, preparing for this series, did you know that I became an expert in apple growing? That's right, I'm an apple treeologist. Well, not really. The official name is palmologist. And palmology is the study of apple growing and actually raising up fruit trees in general. Now, you may say to yourself, that's no big deal. Well, did you know that it takes as many as 50 leaves to produce just one apple? Did you know that it could take anywhere from 8 to 10 years for an apple tree to really begin to bear fruit? Or that apple trees aren't even in the fruit family alone, but are included in the rose tree family along with pears and plums? Now, doesn't that make your week complete? But besides that, you may be saying to yourself, okay, so what does that have to do with parenting? Glad you asked. Everything. You see, just like an apple doesn't fall far from its tree, our children don't fall far from us as parents. Because they get so much from us, things that we both figure out that they will have, like our eyes, or our nose, or our skin color, or our hair. But they also get things from us that we don't anticipate, like our personalities, like those things in our background. And my worst experience came from the fact that I did not know that. I didn't know that my son would have my personality. So when my son Michael was in junior high, I got a call from his teacher one day asking me to come meet with her and then come get him and take him home. Yeah, it wasn't fun. But when I got him home, I gave him the speech. You know, you're undisciplined and you need to work harder, study harder, do more, do this, do that. And he said 7 words that I'll never forget. He said, "You make me feel like a failure." That crushed me because I was angry now that he had said that. But I was angry at him for saying it when the person I should have been angry at was me. So I want to talk openly with you this morning, Good Shepherd. And parents, I want you to hear me well, because we assume that we know what our children are to us. Oh, yes, the Bible makes it clear. Our children are inheritance, our legacy. They're a gift. And for some, children are someone that can hear a Lady Gaga song being played 3 blocks away but can't hear their mother calling from the next room. Or for some of us, children are those who can operate the latest iPhone and smartphone but can't learn how to make a bed. But for us as parents, our children are really this. Yeah, mini you. And that's what I had to find out. Because when my son said to me that I made him feel like a failure, it really meant that there was a part of me that had failed him. And I had to figure out what it was that would turn that around. And I found it in God's word, because I began to understand something about God that I did not realize. You see, we as parents, we're used to giving orders, commands. God doesn't operate that way. I found out that God gives commandments, not commands. Now you may say to yourself, "Oh, preacher, you're just playing with words. The word command is in the word commandment." Yes, it is. But I found out that the difference is that a command tells you what God meant. And when I realized that a command is just something that we say to benefit us, but God's commandments benefit those who hear it. So when we give an order to our children, we're doing something that benefits us, because we tell them, "Take out the trash." Why? Because we don't want to do it. "Clean your room." Why? Because we don't want to do it. But when God gives a commandment, he is doing it for the benefit of the one receiving the commandment. And I had to learn that this is how God operates. And because we are his children, and he is the ultimate parent, that we have to follow suit. So I had to change. And I want you to hear me well, Good Shepherd, this morning. Because in the course of the relationship between parents and children. That means that you, as parents, may have to change. I want you to take a look up at our scripture this morning. Either you can look at your bulletin or you can look up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. And Paul is writing to Ephesians, the Ephesian church. And that church at Ephesus, along with the church at Colossae, they had some issues. And I'll go over what those issues were in just a moment, because I want you to see how Paul gives light to God's commandment. He quotes from the Ten Commandments, and he quotes the Fifth Commandment. And it says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." I looked at that and saw it with new eyes. Me being blind, that wasn't easy to do. Because I saw how God parents, and I realized I was doing it all wrong. And maybe some of you here this morning are doing it wrong too, because maybe we're functioning so much in focusing so much in the idea of do what I say because I said so, that we don't explain to our children why. But God does. And that's the way I found out he's always been. Because even in the beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden, he has the first parents over them, the first children, did the same thing then that he does in Ephesians through Paul. Let's take a look up at the screen at Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, and you'll see what I'm saying. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden.'" So God tells who and he tells what. But verse 17 says, "But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will," say it with me, "certainly die." Not just die, but certainly die. There are many of us in this room this morning who wouldn't be alive right now if we hadn't heeded to God's instruction, because the things we were doing in our lives would have led us to certain death. I told you I was going to be up in front and blunt with you this morning. Yeah, the marijuana that you smoked was killing your brain cells. Yeah, the cocaine you were snorting was killing you. Yeah, the alcohol you were drinking, even the relationship you were in, was killing you at times. And God loves us too much to allow us to get away with destroying ourselves. So he gives commandments so that we know what his command is meant for us. And I had to learn that the hard way, because now the relationship between my son and I was damaged. And how was it going to get fixed? By heeding to the word of God. Because even when we go back to Ephesians chapter 6, take a look again at verses 2 and 3, and I want you to pay careful attention to how the command of God is structured to give us instruction. Verse 2 again: "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise." See, that's the thing I was missing. God's commandment also comes with a promise. So he tells us who and what, and then he tells us why, because I have given you a promise. What is the promise? So that it may go well with you and that you may have long life in the earth. Now, I know what you're thinking is, parents, you think the same thing that I thought when I first read those verses. Yeah, you tell them, Paul. You get those kids in line. They're supposed to do what I say, and they're supposed to honor me. Then all of a sudden, bam, verse 4. Because now he's talking to the parents. He dealt with the children. And even earlier, in the 5th chapter, he dealt with husbands and wives. And now he's going down the list. And he gets to parents. And look what he says in verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And then Paul, when he writes to Colossae, he follows the same trend in warning parents. And when we read in Colossians chapter 3 in the 20th and 21st verses, you'll hear the repetition because God has always dealt with us and always will deal with us the same way. In verse 20, he says, children, obey your parents. There's that what and who in everything. And here comes the why. For this pleases the Lord. And he does it to us again, parents. Verse 21, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become, say it with me, discouraged. That's exactly what I did to my son. I discouraged him by trying to encourage him. But I made the mistake of assuming that just because I told him what to do, it was good enough. But it wasn't. And so not only did he become discouraged and lose hope with himself, he also eventually lost hope in me. That's what I want you to hear. And that's why it's so important that we take the time to instruct our children. Tell them why. Moms and dads, I want you to hear me clearly. Please hear what I'm saying to you. I don't want you to face what I had to face. And yeah, I got to turn it around, but not all of us get that chance. It's kind of like the mother who called me years ago, and she was dying from cancer, and she was estranged from her daughter. And the daughter was now about to get married. And the only persons who were not invited to the wedding were the mother and father. And when I talked to this mother and asked her why did she think her daughter didn't invite her, she shared with me a family background, that they had given her everything they thought she wanted. They had given her everything except the one thing she needed. She needed intimacy. Instead, they actually gave her intimidation. because they figured that as long as we give you what you want and then we scold you when we think that you're doing something wrong, that's how you parent. But this daughter wanted nothing more to do with her parents because she felt that there was no true line of open communication. They never told her why. And so now, when the wedding guest list comes out and their names aren't on it, everybody now knows she wants nothing to do with her parents. And mark my words, whatever kind of a parent you are in private will become apparent to everyone in public. So now, where do you go from here? How do you fix it? You fix it by doing what I had to do. Open up and disclose those things in your life and even in your past that you never wanted your kids to know. That's what I had to do. I first apologized and then began to openly discuss with my son and my daughter what I didn't want them to know, because I thought that the secrets in our family closet would stay in the closet. They don't. Trust me, your children will find a way to open up that closet and that secret will be exposed. So moms, let me talk to you for a moment. It's not enough just to tell your daughter that skirt's too short or you're too young to wear that makeup. Tell her why. Tell her what happened to you when you wore a dress like that. Tell her how you were violated. Yes, it's going to hurt. But would you rather have a relationship built on intimidation and secrets or intimacy and openness? Dads, I really got to talk to you because we men are stubborn. Amen? Ask any wife. Dads, it's not enough to tell your son or daughter, don't drink and drive or don't use drugs. Tell them why. Tell them what happened to you when you got that DWI. Oh yeah, when you spent that night in jail. Tell your children why you want them to be abstinent until marriage. Let them know about the STD you got. Tell them how you caught it. You see, because we want to be superheroes in front of our children. We don't want to seem like we're fallible. We want to be infallible. No, that's God's job, to be infallible. God has given us the task as parents to instruct. Because I guarantee you, the one thing that will help keep your children from going down the road of destruction is the path of your instruction. The hard part for me in apologizing to my son I had to share with him and with my daughter my first wife's family history. And my first marriage had ended in disaster. I'm so thankful that God gave me a second chance with Dorothy, because my first marriage to Michael's mom not only ended in disaster for me and for Michael's mom, it ended in disaster for Michael because, and I hope many of you, if you are in divorce or if you're about to get divorced, I pray not, but if that is going to be the case, please don't use your children as pawns. Don't try to punish your ex-spouse with your children and with withholding the rights for them to see their children. Because I guarantee you, the ones who will suffer will be your children, and then ultimately, it'll be you. And you'll find yourself like that mom I just told you about. And in fixing this, you're going to have to be willing to open up and share, because the thing you don't want them to know is the thing they need to hear the most from you. I did it the wrong way. I thought I could keep the family secret. And I thought that my ex-wife's secret family history would not affect my son or my daughter. And it did. You see, my son Michael has Asperger's and also is bipolar. And it's in the midst of trying to keep that secret, that is the one that jumped out first in his life. Because in his mother's family tree, there was a history of mental disorder. So now it shows up in him. And when the apple from my tree fell hard, it was God's word that helped me pick it back up. But for me, it was because I had to do it backwards. I had to find out first that I was doing something wrong. And in sharing it, that began to turn things around. But there's a family in this church right now who did it the right way. They talked openly about what was wrong. When a young lady here named Jessica, when she realized something was wrong in her life, she talked with her parents about it. And what could have been a tragedy turned into a triumph. Take a look.
My name is Jess, and almost 5 years ago, I got hit with severe depression out of nowhere. I was extremely sad, very confused, and at a loss for what to do. So I wasn't consulting with any doctors, wasn't taking any medications, and didn't know how to combat the chemical imbalances that were going on in my brain. So as a result, I attempted to take my own life on two separate occasions, a year apart from each other. And this was before a team of doctors was able to find a diagnosis and a combination of medicine and therapy that worked with my brain and was able to help with my feelings. I still have a lot of hills and valleys that accompany my diagnosis of bipolar, but that's because my disease is not curable, but it is manageable. I have grown up in a wonderful family of very strong individuals that are full of love to give. But we had something that we just didn't talk about, and that was that we have a history of mental illness that's ingrained in our roots. I think that the most wonderful thing that happened from my very low, low points was that we finally started to actually talk about what we had been hiding and started talking about mental illness. I think it was not only to help us cope, but also to help others that were struggling. And once we finally started talking about it, I think that's when we ultimately started to heal. When I found out the extent of mental illness that was ingrained in my family, it made me feel okay with, in a sense, with what was happening to me. It made me feel normal. If I didn't grow up having hard, honest, raw conversations with my parents and grandparents and my whole family, when I got this diagnosis and I wanted to sit down and talk to somebody, I don't think I could have done it. But it wasn't as hard because I grew up doing that. So I think going forward, as you know, as parents of young children, I think, you know, starting young and just having those uncomfortable conversations that you might not want to have, but they're so important. None of this would have been possible without what Jesus has done to save me those two times that I tried to take my own life. I got saved here at church at a healing service. I got baptized in a parking lot, and I got married on a farm to the love of my life, all because of Jesus and what he is trying to do with me and through me. Because of Jesus and his amazing and saving power and my family's honesty, my mess has now been turned into a message.
And what Jessica just shared with you and what I just shared with you about our family trees and how there are secrets that need to come out of the closet to help strengthen us as a church. Good Shepherd is partnering with the Depression Bipolar Support Alliance, called DBSA for short. And as you saw in the GS feed, each and every Wednesday starting September 13th, and this is free. Those of us who have family members or are ourselves struggling with mental disorders, we can come together and minister to one another. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity, because if I had had that when Michael was younger, it would have changed his relationship with me. And it even would have changed my relationship with God a lot earlier, because Michael attempted to take his life as well. And I'm so thankful that I got the chance to make it right. But how about you, Good Shepherd? Is your relationship with your children strained? Do you feel as if the more you're trying to push them, that you find that you're actually pushing them further away? Now is the time to change and realize you can give instruction instead of just commands. So what are you going to do with your time right now? Because that's what God has guaranteed for you right now, is the opportunity. Will you take it as I took it? I pray that you do, because whatever kind of a parent you are in private will be very apparent to all in public. Let's pray. So, Father, we come thanking you, asking that right now, each and every household here, each and every person hearing the sound of my voice will be willing to hear the Holy Spirit's unction to change, to begin to give instruction rather than orders. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.